The Heavite spirit is a trickery spirit that says, that's so little it really don't matter. Don't pay any attention to it. Here's one that's going to knock us all right between the eyes. Every one of us. Letting down your guard watching TV. If some of our grandparents could get up from the grave and watch 1 hour of TV with us, they would go back to the grave sad. They would not believe some of the things that we have allowed in our house in the name of entertainment that they would have never allowed in their house. And they wonder why we don't see signs and wonders. And we wonder why we don't see miracles. So, you know, let's be honest, folks. We get numb to certain words that used to offend us. And we say, well, you know that, everybody just says it now, and we get used to it. Does anybody remember the movie Gone with the Wind? Gone with the Wind created a firestorm across America because he said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a rip. Except that's not what he said. And when he made that one statement on TV, Americans rose up in arms. And now they're wearing We Are Hamas t-shirts. My goodness. What's happened to us? What's happened to our morals, our standards? The Heavite spirit is when something that seems so insignificant becomes something huge because we let down our standard a little bit. A few drugs. You know, I know a preacher who was under so much stress that he started using drugs. And no one knew it. And then he actually, during Sunday school, the pastor broke into a lady's house and stole drugs out of her bathroom because he knew she was in a Sunday school class, broke into her house and stole drugs, ended up in an institution as a full-blown drug addict because he flirted with something that he thought he could control. You know, it's just a little toke here and there. And then it opens the door to other things. And before you know it, it's bigger and bigger and bigger. You don't have to say amen to this. It's just, I'm just telling you the truth. How about this little thing? This friend who tells dirty jokes. And I laugh at them because I want them to be my friend. The next thing I know, I'm thinking that way, or I'm telling it, or I'm repeating it. Or how about that friend who drains all the emotional energy out of your life, and you tolerate it, and you tolerate it, and you don't get people who can add to you until one day you wake up and you're just like them. You're talking the way they talk. You're saying the same things they say, and you've allowed that small little thing to pull you into a trap in your life. Or how about these little bouts of anger that all of us deal with from time to time that end up being rage or violence or imprisonment because something little became big? It's like the person who buys the baby gorilla because he's so cute. What do you do with him when he grows up? Some of you are feeling that way about your dog right now. It's like, he was just the cutest little puppy. Now he's bigger than the couch. Solomon chapter 2, Song of Solomon says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. So inconsequential as they may be, they can have a huge negative impact on our life and become ruinous when they become out of control. Heavite spirit, something that seems so insignificant, but I've played with it so long, I'm used to it, and now it's going to bite me.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
The parasite. The parasite is the God of self-security. So let me tell you the story of the parasite. Now, you can see this big giant here because that's the story of the parasite. The parasites were actually killed by Moses before they crossed over because King Og was the king of the parasites, and he was the last of the giant race. So King Og was the last giant king on the earth, and Moses destroyed him because he thought his might and strength and self-sufficiency was all he needed to sustain himself. Instead of, they put their dependency upon the Lord, he put his dependency upon his size and upon his unwalled villages. And before Moses finished with him, they conquered 60 parasite cities. 60 parasite cities because their self-sufficiency was not enough. Recently, there was an interview with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk was asked, how does it feel to be the most wealthy and powerful man in the whole world? His next question was this, are you happy? And his answer was, no. Wow. I'm the wealthiest man in the world, the most powerful man in the world, but are you happy? And his answer was, no, I'm not happy. Because self-sufficiency is not the same as God dependency. Billionaire Howard Hughes held the title of the richest man in the world for a while. This is back in the 70s, and if you look up his legacy, you will read this in his story. Howard Hughes' later years, he became emaciated and deranged from the effects of depression and the excess use of drugs. In 1976, at the age of 70, he died alone in his private plane flying from Acapulco, Mexico to Houston, Texas. Died alone, deranged, and full of drugs, and he was the richest man in the world. That spirit says, all you need is you, and you are enough. And Moses said, no, all we need is God, and you're not big enough to stop God. The Girgashites. The Girgashites is the god of instability. All right, so the Girgashite comes from a Hebrew word that literally means clay soil. And so it's this being unstable. It's this person who's wishy-washy and they can't make up their mind. How many of you would think that America is a bit unstable right now? And what's the difference in being unstable and being steadfast and dependable? But the Bible says in the last days that men are not going to endure sound doctrine. I mean, part of the whole last day experience is this instability of people in the last days. We're even seeing it in the church, you know, lack of commitment. It's just, it's an option. It's like consumerism. I never thought I would see the day that people shop churches like they shop Walmart and Target. They just go to whoever's got the biggest fire burning at the time, and then they'll go over here for a while, over here. At some point in time, here's what happens, guys, and I'm not saying don't visit other churches and don't be a part of other churches, and if you got a Sunday church, praise God for that, and we're your Tuesday church, you can have two churches. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is if you're not careful and you're not under the same type of teaching, it's very easy to become a theological schizophrenic. To the point that you don't really know what you believe anymore. You heard this guy say this, and this person say this, and this person said this, and one guy is telling you if you speak in tongues, you're demon-possessed, and the other guy is telling you if you speak in tongues, that it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the other guy is saying, no, they ceased with the apostles' age, and somebody else is saying, no, they're still real today, and then after a while, it's going to be, wait a minute. Let me tell you, can I just be honest with you about preaching? And I'm a preacher, so I think I have the right to say this. Preaching was never intended to be a form of entertainment. It was never intended to be. It's supposed to bring reproof. It's supposed to bring conviction. It's supposed to bring change. It's supposed to bring God near. It's supposed to teach us the Word of God. And I can show you a myriad of pastors who will actually advertise that they will never preach on the end times because it scares people. What are their people going to do when the rapture happens? What are they? How are they going to survive the tribulation period if you never talk about it? I know preachers that say, "You will." I heard a guy in St. Louis say as a TV program, "I will never preach a sermon from the book of Revelation. You don't have to worry. Come here. It's going to be saved with me." This guy gets up like a motivational speaker. Every now and then we'll take a text and he will tell jokes and it is absolutely fun. It's entertaining. His church runs thousands, but I can tell you that I don't even want to tell you everything I know because I know a lot of people. I'm going to leave it there. You can't live on a candy high. You got to have the meat of the word. You got to have some roots. You got to have some milk of the word. You've got to have a steady diet of the gospel. And at some point in time, you got to hear the word of God. You got to digest it and you've got to apply it. So if the word of God steps on my toes every now and then, that might be what I need. If the word of God is a mirror and I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see, that might be what I need. Now, I'm not for mean-spirited preachers either. I think you can tell the truth with a smile on your face. You don't have to beat people up just to tell them, you know, that it's wrong. You can love people into heaven and still tell them the truth, but don't listen to jokes and internet illustrations all day long and never pick up a Bible or memorize a scripture or go to an altar to pray.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.